from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Obviously not quite as well as yesterday, but I feel like the golf course played a little more difficult, even though we were off in the morning. Some of the hole locations were definitely a little tougher. Sort of had to have your wits about you. I putted it off one green there on 17. I felt like I did a pretty good job at keeping, some of the mistakes off the scorecard.
He who shall not be named. 3-under for the U.S. Open, and Pinehurst just showing its teeth already as round two is underway, and we welcome in the host of Tee to Green, Brian Koziel. I mean, you've seen some wild shots probably in your feed, Brian, as you're watching along. I mean, this course, and really, it's par for the course with the U.S. Open, where the course really takes center stage and becomes the star of the weekend.
Yeah, it certainly does, and Pinehurst, definitely one of those classic venues here that now we know have hosted it for multiple times over the last 20, 25 years or so. And I think a staple of the U.S. Open growing up that I remember was always super fast greens, sometimes shots that look great and the ball ends up rolling off either off the front or off the back, and penalizing rough. I think you've definitely got at least two of the three. The rough is different this week in the sense that we're getting all of these, what they call these native areas. So it's sometimes providing players that end up having a good luck bounce, or sometimes they end up with a bad luck bounce, but some creative shots nevertheless, for sure. And it's playing hard today, but they're also, got guys that are right now at 6-under. So I think this is probably about maybe the best of both worlds. There are birdies out there to be made, so it's not all just doom and gloom. But at the same time, we're definitely seeing some big numbers on the other side. So I think this is what you kind of want in a U.S. Open at a great venue.
Yeah, looking at some of the names on the leaderboard, and it's a 69 today for Bryson DeChambeau. And, Brian, from the outside here, it just seems like that's a guy who's kind of retooled his image here. Or maybe it's the game. Maybe it's one and the same. Because a player that is on LIV maybe isn't considered. But seems like a lot of people may be pulling for Bryson. What are your thoughts on where his game is at right now as he's only two shots off the lead?
Yeah, I think to your first point, his image has definitely gotten a little softer and a little bit more likable. I think he has, at least over the last year or so, tried to maybe push that he's not this just totally bullheaded, like, all I care about are my numbers and winning sort of mentality. The video that we saw at the PGA Championship where he tossed the ball to a kid and then an adult grabbed it in front of him, and then Bryson, in the middle of his round, went back, chased the adult down and yelled at him to give the kid the ball back, and that kind of gained some popularity. And he's had a lot of positive things to say over these last few months about the LIV and the PGA Tour battles, which, by the way, I think on Tuesday we're going to get some news on.
Ooh.
But his game has been retooled. He doesn't feel like he has to be a WWE wrestler to be a successful golfer. He's trimmed down, but he's also trying to maximize distance for sure. That part is still of his game. But some of the tinkering that he's done with his irons within the rules to try to maybe lessen mistakes, I think, is very, very interesting. I think he's a good player for golf to have. And I hope, obviously, with this news maybe that we'll hear next week, that maybe we'll get to see DeChambeau on a more regular basis. Because even if you still don't like him, there's no doubt about it that he's very interesting to watch. And with that, that's really, I think, all we ask for in sports is, even if you don't necessarily consider yourself a fan of a team or a fan of a player, are they interesting to watch? That's why we tune in, and he's definitely got all those characteristics.
Brian, don't leave us hanging on a string. What do you know about next week? Elaborate, buddy.
So, just talking to a couple of people within our tee to green circles, that have Kevin Sylvester from our team, who's had got a lot of connections with all of his PGA Tour radio staff. We think Tuesday we'll get some sort of formal press conference, announcement, written statement, press release, maybe all that between PIF and the PGA Tour. The reason that they are holding the announcement is because they don't want to do it during the major, because obviously that would take and deflect away from the tournament itself. So that's what I think you'll probably hear maybe Tuesday or Wednesday this week, that they have made progress, that they've come to more agreement on a lot of things. How much we get on Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't know, but I think to definitely keep an eye out for that next week.
So the perfect scenario, knowing we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? What would the perfect world look like? Like that announcement Tuesday, what would get you, Brian Colesill, to say, yes, this is something that we can all as golf fans live with, moving forward?
I'm hoping that there's some sort of way that even though the LIV players may still continue to play on the LIV Tour, they'll have the ability through scoring or rating or points or however they do it, that they may be eligible to play in what is the PGA Tour set of elevated events. And then that maybe gets guys like DeChambeau and Koepka into some of these other events that, you know, we really miss. You might miss seeing them in, like, let's just say, you know, the Arnold Palmer, the Memorial, like we saw last week, events like that. Or maybe part of the agreement is, you know, each player is allowed to play in five other PGA Tour events or something along those lines, where we'll get to see these names more often than just during the four majors during the year. You're going to have some of these big names start to fall off in terms of their access to these majors because they aren't accumulating any sort of world ranking points unless they have some amazing performances within the major. So like DeChambeau has been amazing in the majors this year. He's in contention to win both of them. He is here again. So he's accumulating enough points that he's going to get invited back. You know, guys like Rahm and Dustin Johnson, they've won the Masters recently. So they're going to be in some of these because they've got exemptions, but there's also a good set of names. You know, you guys got like Hatton, Neiman, players like that, that I think, you know, there's got to figure out a way to get them back on here so we can see all the best players in the world getting together again. I don't know if it'll be an immediate just return to the PGA Tour. I think that these guys still will have to deal with being on LIV because that's the contract they signed. But I got to imagine they've got to figure out a way to allow John Rahm to play in more events, allow Brooks Koepka to play in more events, around Bryson DeChambeau to play in more events, because ultimately that's when the tournaments are the best, is when we're seeing all these best players here together. I think they're still going to be on the hook for playing their LIV events. I don't think that's just going to disappear. I think that's still going to be there, for at least for the foreseeable future.
Brian Colesill hosts the Tee to Green show. You can hear it in the free-to-download Odyssey app and our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. Brian, I want to get back to the leaderboard, because before I feel like Scottie Scheffler took over the PGA and went on this amazing tear that he's been on, I feel like Patrick Cantlay was playing some really, really good golf. So where did he go? What happened? And what do you attribute his success so far this week at Pinehurst as he's on top of the leaderboard right now?
Yeah, I think he's got a great mentality to be successful at the U.S. Open. It's kind of that bull, straightforward mentality of, I don't have to be flashy. I don't have to make a ton of outstanding shots here, but I have to be steady. And he was that yesterday, only making one bogey, playing steady so far here today. We know he's an outstanding putter. He's been really, really successful. Got as high as third ranked in the world because he was money on the greens. If you remember, probably one of the most epic duos in FedEx Cup playoff history, it was DeChambeau and Cantlay in that event that went multiple playoff holes, and eventually Cantlay ended up coming out on top. I'm not surprised that he's here. After Schauffele won, I remember doing a couple radio interviews, and you know, I had saying, hey, that was the guy that I considered to be the best player in the world without a major. And then I think I got a question of, like, well, now who is it? And I was probably between Cantlay and Victor Hovland. And so, you know, if Cantlay ends up going out on top this week, it wouldn't be surprising at all, because I think he's got all the tools. He's got the resume. He's got the wins. We know he's played under pressure situations. So not surprising here that he's on top and handling these conditions well.
Brian, on our show, I just got to kind of give you a little backstory. We, and having fun isn't the right word, but we actually took it personal because Rory McIlroy's, wife is from Rochester, and it was a story that, like, was in all the tabloids, everything else, and I'm not asking you to comment on any of that stuff, but he's in contention, and I'm just wondering, like, where you think his game is at, as obviously he's had some issues off of the course, and I'm wondering what that scene will actually be like if he ends up winning the U.S. Open.
Yeah, what a swing of emotions for him from the last major to this major. He went into the PGA Championship with the news about him filing for divorce, and now obviously into this next major with the news that it looks like they've reconciled and they're not going to get a divorce. So personally, I'm happy for both of them. Personally, the Rochester connection, that's good that stays intact for whatever value that is, personally for Western New York golf. I think for McIlroy, maybe just this week coming in with maybe a little sense of relief, something that, hey, that's one less thing now I have to worry about, one less thing that maybe can provide comfort and can provide ease. These players, they need so much mental support. This game is so, so challenging, so, so difficult. The players at these top levels, we know they have their teams, we know they have their swing coaches and their trainers, but they also need their, psychiatrists and their mental coaches and things like that. So the fact that maybe his life off the course is in a better spot because of the fact that it looks like him and his wife are back together. I guess I'm not surprised that he would go out and shoot a 65 in the opening round. Today came back a little. As he said, it is playing a little bit tougher today, but I'm really noticing his confidence on the greens right now. I think the way he's even just walking in putts, he's hitting them at the perfect speed. These greens are very, very tough to deal with. So if you can have any sense of confidence on the toughest greens they're going to play all year, I got to think, and I think just hope, because I think it'd be a great story that McIlroy sticks around here and has a chance to win going into Sunday.
Can't be a golf conversation, Brian, unless I ask you how you think Tiger's been playing so far. Looks like he's 10 shots off the lead right now.
I think he's playing okay. I think he's been very, very good off the tee. Yesterday he was excellent, I thought, off the tee. I think he went like 7 for his first 7 before he missed a fairway. Yesterday, the short game and tentative putting, kind of the opposite of why I thought McIlroy did so well. McIlroy was putting with perfect speed. Tiger 3-putted a couple of times yesterday. That's in his golden rules of don't do when you're successfully playing golf. One of his three is don't 3-putt, and he did it twice yesterday, and both times it was because he left the first putt short. So I think if he can putt a little better, I think that he might put up a decent score today. He's right around the cut line, and I know either going to be 4 or it's, right now it's 5, which Scheffler in ironically at the moment, but Tiger being at 4. I think he's fine off the tee. I think he's playing smart with his shots in. I just think he's got a putt well here coming in. What I liked about Tiger's chances this week more so than the other majors were because there were some factors that he can't control that actually were in his favor this week. Okay, what are things that he cannot control? Well, he can't control the weather. But he has always said when it's cold, he has to wear layers. His back stiffens up. His muscles tighten up. It makes it a more difficult day for him with all of his surgeries and how his body reacts to it. Well, it's going to be 90 every day. So he says he likes playing in the heat because it keeps him loose. So the part that he can't control by the weather, that's a checkmark in his column. What's another thing he can't control? Well, he can't control how hilly this course is coming into it. It's not like he can prepare for a hilly course versus a flat course. This course is as flat as they're going to play on the PGA Tour. So the walk for him is going to be as easy as he's going to get for a major this year. And the third thing I might throw in, this might be just something, a little thing, is the rough off of the fairway is not the traditional U.S. Open rough where it's like past your ankle height, where he could maybe tweak something or try to think like, hey, I got to put a little extra on this and maybe it'd be uncomfortable for him at this point. Because of how the rough is, essentially that native areas with that spongy grass, little clumps, and then the sand, he maybe won't have to face that shot where man, that rough is so thick that all of a sudden that twisted his back and it didn't go well, and now all of a sudden he's uncomfortable the rest of the way. So I like Tiger's – with all that being said, I'm not sitting here saying I think Tiger can win. But I think right now, as I think we talked about in earlier conversations this year for me is what's a successful major for Tiger? It's making the cut. I think because of some of those factors being in his favor, if he can just putt better here the rest of the day, I think he can.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Take it.
Yeah, as taking a look at our leaderboard, it is Patrick Cantlay through 7. He's at 6-under. Ludwig Åberg at 6-under. He is through 6. And Bryson DeChambeau, 2 shots back. Brian, are there any golfers that, amongst the ones I didn't mention there, that you're keeping an eye on here as far as the leaderboard?
I know this is going to sound very easy to say, but Xander Schauffele, I've been very impressed with how he's been able to recover after having bad holes and then come back with birdies. There's not a ton of birdies out there, but he's been able to do that. Today, making a double on a par 5, that's a killer. I mean, that feels like you just gave like 4 back. Because on a 5, you're hoping to maybe birdie. And on the other 5 today, he bogeyed as well. So he went 3 over on the 2 5s, where probably the leaders are all playing at an under par. So he probably feels like he dropped 4 to 5 strokes just on those 2 par 5s. But all these other more difficult par 3s and 4s, he played outstanding. 4 under on all those other holes. 5 under, excuse me. He made 5 other birdies elsewhere. So I think he's showing that he's capable, that he actually can make up ground, because this is not a course where you can just go out and fire all these birdies. For him to be 5 under on the rest of those holes, I'm pretty impressed with. So I'm going to cough up those 5s to just maybe some bad circumstances, even if he can just play those maybe like 1 under tomorrow instead of 3 over. I mean, that's a huge difference. If he has 4 more shots, that puts him at 5 under right now, and that would be 1 off the lead. So I really would say out of anybody in the top 10 that we haven't talked about yet, it would be Schauffele that I really like the way the game looks so far.
Brian, educate us on the co-leader, Ludwig Åberg. We saw his name at Augusta, and he was in contention, and here he is again. And I think, you know, the casual fan probably has no idea who this guy is, but he's playing some really good golf this season.
He really is. And, you know, I'm impressed with how quickly he's been able to kind of move up in the world golf rankings. I mean, up to 6 right now so far this year. You mentioned his performance at the Masters. He finished solo 2nd there. So that's been impressive. And then in 2 of the next 3 tournaments, he's had good performances as well. The RBC Heritage, 10th. Last week at the Memorial, 5th. So this guy's got a pedigree for playing. He also had a 2nd earlier this year at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Had a lot of off-season pub that, hey, this is the next star. He hits it a mile. And he seems to have such a really, really mature attitude for being so young. Just, I love seeing just kind of his mannerisms. I'm always watching golf, not only for the physical attributes of like, okay, what can I emulate in their game? But what I'm also looking for is just like, how do they handle adversity? Because for all of us hackers, we're trying to figure out, you know, how do you overcome when you hit a bad shot? How do you overcome when you have a bad hole? How do the best in the world do it so I can try to do the same? And I've been really, really impressed. Like, I never, ever have seen him once in the year and a half here that I've been watching him on the PGA Tour ever see him look frustrated, ever see him look upset, ever see him look like he's distracted by something. I'm really impressed for how young of an age he is that he's able to handle these big-time stages. And, you know, there's nothing bigger right now than being in the lead of the U.S. Open. So far, so good in terms of how he's handling the pressure.
Brian, last one for me, and just switching it up here, just to get your thoughts here, and it's a Sabre-related question, and, you know, in the last decade, there's been so many gut punches for Sabre fans, and here comes another one tomorrow night. We're not three, not four. You'll have five ex-Sabres, some key components, and yet they found all the success down in Florida. Just your thoughts on this. Is it just as simple as sometimes, you know, players in a certain situation aren't ready, and now these guys, this was their time?
Yeah, it is definitely another punch in the gut. I mean, we've had the few years ago with Ryan O'Reilly going out to St. Louis and having the playoffs of his life and winning the cup and winning the Conn Smythe. Last year, Jack Eichel raises the cup with Vegas. And now it looks like this year there's going to be five Sabres that, you know, I would say all of them were brought in with thoughts that they were going to be supposedly part of this organization that could get them into the postseason, that they could make runs. The captaincy with Kyle Okposo, to me, is an interesting layer to this. You know, his comments about saying, look, I knew in November that the Sabres were not right. There's part of me that said, well, good. I'm glad you felt and you saw what maybe we were all seeing from the outside. And then there's part of me that's saying, well you were the captain.
Right. Yeah.
Like, why weren't you, as soon as you knew that the wheels were coming off, like, why weren't you trying to reattach them? Or why, you know, for a guy that gets so much credit for being such a good leader, like, why am I hearing so much about the second the season is over, all the players talking about how they needed more accountability in the room? Well, I know a piece of that's Don Granato, but a piece of that also is Kyle Okposo. So I don't want to sit here and say that Kyle Okposo was perfect as a captain, because obviously he wasn't. However, anybody that has had any sort of run-in with Kyle Okposo has always said that he's one of the nicest gentlemen in sports. So in that sense, I'll be happy to see him raise the cup tomorrow. Ultimately, maybe for the Sabres to get past whatever this 13-year hump is, maybe they do need a captain that can really get them a little bit more accountability in the room. I think they have the head coach that can definitely do that. Don Granato, through his time, was rarely public about holding players accountable. And he did it a little toward the end of his tenure here at the end of the season, and it actually started to work. And players were even commenting on that, but a little bit too little, too late. You got to think maybe Lindy Ruff will be a big piece of that turnaround. I mean, Sam Reinhart, the trade had to have been made. He said he was not staying. And it just goes back to that culture of those key players. I mean, how did the Sabres, I'm not even saying win the cup, how did the Sabres not make the playoffs when you had Eichel and Reinhart and Evander Kane, who's, by the way, playing in the Stanley Cup finals, and Ryan O'Reilly? Like, how did that not at least result in a team that could make the postseason? Like, it's mind-boggling to think how much talent they had. And now you've got all these players that are in the Stanley Cup or have previously just won the Stanley Cup. It is another punch in the gut to see Reinhart raise it, to see, you know, Brandon Montour was a player that I thought the Sabres maybe gave up on a little bit too early. I know he's playing on a much, much, much better team. It helps maybe when you're playing at times with Aaron Ekblad to look great. But there's no reason why he couldn't have done that with Rasmus Dahlin as well. These players that are thriving elsewhere, I do think a big piece of it is that when you're playing with better players and you're playing with better coaches, all of a sudden you get the best out of you. I think that kind of does make sense. This group that's here now, I think they do have a better coach than Lindy Ruff. Let's hope that whatever mentality, culture change, all that sort of stuff that comes with coaching changes, that it's enough to push the Sabres over. Because I don't want to watch another year where another Sabre or two or three or, as you said, five are going to raise the cup again here. Let's hope next year maybe it's the Sabres that are going deep here to the postseason and we can see them having some success.
Brian, I just quickly want to go back to what you were saying about the captaincy. And I'm curious if you believe that somebody on this Sabres roster exists already that could carry that torch and hold his teammates more accountable in the way we hoped Okposo would have done.
I do. And I don't think it'll be the captain. I think it's Dylan Cousins. I think that from day one of him getting here, he's been all about effort and accountability. He had been hardest on himself more than any other player this year. For sure, Dylan Cousins had a very down year offensively. He was one of the reasons why this team didn't make the playoffs, because his production points-wise was way down. But he was the first to take ownership of it. He also called out his team on it. and called them even soft. Like, where do you hear that coming out where guys are going to actually on the public record say that about their team? I think he probably was spoken to by Don Granato and Kevin Adams and basically said, hey, you got to kind of chill that down a little bit. I think Dylan Cousins would be a perfect captain for this team. I don't think he will get it. I think it will be Rasmus Dahlin. I don't think that there's anything wrong with taking Rasmus Dahlin. If I had the choice, I would take Cousins. I think Dahlin is extremely well-respected in the room. A big reason is just because of his talent. I think that he'll be a fine captain. I think it'll be an upgrade. But I do think the mentality of the old-school captain, for whatever that's worth this day and age in 2024, if I could say, you know, who maybe has the Chris Drury leadership, I think it's Dylan Cousins.
Brian Colziel, your host of Tee to Green, also the Sabres Radio Network. Tee to Green on WGR, also inside the Odyssey app you can listen to. Brian, where are you guys tomorrow?
We are at Pendleton Creek Golf Club in North Tonawanda, and we are on for 2 hours tomorrow because it is a major weekend, so hope everybody can listen on WGR or on the Odyssey app. We will be on from 7 to 9. Mark Carnevale from PGA Tour Radio, who's actually on the air right now on the grounds, is going to be joining us at 8:05, so we will definitely have some live reaction from Pinehurst on the spot, so we'll get some good insight from him tomorrow.
Fantastic work as always, Brian. Have a great weekend, and thanks for giving us some time.
Thank you as always. Everybody enjoy the game tonight in with the Red Wings with Garrett Cole. That's exciting. And to all the dads, happy Father's Day weekend.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Colziel, the host of Tee to Green, here tomorrow morning on WGR, our Odyssey Sports sister station. You can always catch up with Tee to Green in the free-to-download Odyssey app.
It's interesting talking about Opposo. Like, you hit it right in the head. Like, the talk about, we needed more accountability. We just assumed that was Granato. Like, right. That should come from the captain.
Right. And I don't know that play. I mean, I can appreciate that Brian is saying that player should be Dylan Cousins, but Dylan Cousins isn't seasoned enough. He's not weathered enough. I don't think he's been through enough to have that. I mean, I love everything Brian said about Dylan Cousins, except for the part where he said he's not going to be the captain. It's going to be Dahlin. Well, that's fine. Dahlin is skilled and might be the most skilled player on your roster, but is he a leader? Is he a guy that can command a locker room? Is he a guy that can make everybody around him better? I have serious doubts.
I don't think so. But I'm going to give you a take when we play. I'll drink to that. Why, if you're a Sabre fan, believe it or not, just raise your expectations that there's going to be some movement. And I'm not talking July 1st, but I'm talking perhaps around the draft. Dare I say a trade? And I'll explain why I think that'll happen.
Okay. I have an NHL prediction as well that I feel comfortable making based on something that crossed my feed today. I'll get into that as well. And a simple request for all of the hardworking reporters that cover the NFL. It's a pretty big story going on right now that for some reason nobody's talking about. I can't understand why. Well, I absolutely know why. But it doesn't mean that it's right. We'll get into that and more. And don't forget, we'll be joined by Ty Dunn. Go along, TD. We'll talk about his conversation with Bills GM Brandon Bean. In about a half an hour, he joins us at 425. You can join us at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.